I want to welcome you to First Baptist Church. My name is Steve, and sometimes they let me be the pastor around here, and it's really my privilege to say good morning to you and welcome you today. We want you to know above everything else that God loves you, and that as God loves you, He reaches out to you in the person of Jesus to invite you into life with Him, and that's what our worship service is about centering on Jesus and understanding the love God has for us. We're delighted to have you with us today. This is a very special day for our church. Every October, we seek to raise funds for World Mission. And today, it's a little bit like we were pulling up the window on a house and looking outside to broaden our view and horizons. And it's our hope today that your eyes are opened a little wider to what God is doing around the world today through missions and through reaching out to people. We have the Reverend Ben Chan here, who I'll interview in a little while, but Ben is our director of East Asia and India for the missionaries and the partners and the churches we work with in that region of the world. And during his message today, he's going to be telling you more about that. Ben, I'm going to ask you to join me here on the steps. And we enjoy getting acquainted with folks. You're a folk, right? Where were you born, Ben?
I was born in Hong Kong.
Where is that?
Well, Hong Kong is in the southern part of China.
Joyce and I were privileged to be there almost exactly a year ago and rode up that tram or funicular or whatever you call it to oversee the beautiful city. It was a marvelous experience. Growing up in Hong Kong, think back if you can to when you were a boy of 10 or 12 years old. What did you like to do for fun?
Well, in fact, I like to travel. Okay. In fact, my father runs a rice shop, so I have to help him to collect checks. Can you believe it? And so I went to different parts of, Hong Kong, basically to collect money for him. It's amazing.
Sounds good. Same thing pastors do, isn't it? Let's take the offering.
Exactly,
help us out.
Exactly, yeah.
We do have a goal for the World Mission Offering, and you'll see in your pew rack, there's a little envelope there. And sometime in the month of October, we hope that you give above and beyond your normal giving to the church and to the other works you support. Pray, what would God have you give to World Mission Offering to support some of our work around the world? So you did that for fun? You collected checks for fun?
I think it's an indication that God has given me these gifts, to encourage people to give for a purpose.
That's great. And how did you end up coming to the United States?
Well, in fact, I received a scholarship from Yale Divinity School, and so I came about 70 years ago. And I was a Christian Alliance by that time, but when I came to the States, I was so fascinated with the wonderful work of American Baptists. So I chose to become an American Baptist. And then after I finished my study in school, I became a pastor in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Who would think? You eat a lot of bratwurst and drink beer there, or no?
Not really, but I spent a lot of time shoveling snow.
Lots of snow. Well, it's great to have you. One more question about your family. Tell us a bit about your family.
Well, if I say it in a Chinese way, I would say I have a housewife and two, naughty children. But let me put it in American way. I have a beautiful wife and two wonderful children.
Amen. That's good. I do have a last question. Can you imagine for a minute?
Uh-huh.
You can pretend.
Okay.
Yeah? You understand?
Yeah.
All right. You pretend for a moment that First Baptist Church is going to give you a platinum card. Not some cheap gold card, but it's a platinum card. There's no limit on the expense. We're going to pay it off, and International Ministries has given you 6 months off. You can do what you want. You have that platinum card. What are you going to do?
I'm going to take you, the whole church, to travel with me around the world to see the amazing work of God.
All right. Thank you. Amen. Thanks, Ben. I know Ben is going to share a little more in his sermon with us. Joyce and I met Ben a number of years ago and have enjoyed his company primarily at the World Mission Conference in Green Lake. And as you see, Ben is a delightful, energetic young man. Now, did you say you came to this country 70 years ago?
17.
Oh, 17. I thought you said 70, but no.
Good morning. I want to thank you and Steve and Dorcas especially for giving me this opportunity to worship God with you today. I'm deeply touched, and I thoroughly enjoy the worship. It is amazing, to sit amongst you, especially, with the arrangement that people from ethnic group, dress up in their own customs. It reminds me of my background. I just told you that I was in I was born in Hong Kong, but in fact my background is more complicated than that, and I would like to steal a little bit of time to tell you more about myself, and then I'll get into the sermon. In fact, the introduction is part of my sermon. I told the Sunday school before the worship that if you do not remember Ben Chan, there's one way to remember my name. That is to relate me with my distant cousin, Jackie. So if you know Jackie Chan, then you know me. I was born in Hong Kong, but in fact my parents came from the southern part of China, a province called Swatow. Interestingly enough, Swatow in fact is the first mission field of American Baptist. So I was born in Hong Kong. Swatow is my hometown. Swatow and Hong Kong are part of China. So I was born with three identities. I am a Swatow Hong Kong Chinese. But of course, when I was born, Hong Kong was a British colony, and I have a British passport. So in fact, I have four identities. That is, I'm a Swatow Hong Kong Chinese British. I came to the States, enjoyed this wonderful country, and I made up my mind to be part of the American community. So I became an American citizen. So how many identities do I have now? I'm a Swatow Hong Kong Chinese British American. Of course, God has an amazing way to shape the life of each and every one of us. When I came to the States 17 years ago, I had a plan to, you know, finish my study and then went back to Hong Kong and then to teach in a seminary. That is my plan. But in 1992, I was called by the International Ministries to serve with Global Mission, International Mission. And this is wonderful. I said, well, see, God has prepared me as a Swatow Hong Kong Chinese British American, and now I can do overseas work. So I went to Valley Forge, and then in the interview, you know, I talked with the colleagues, and they said, well, Ben, we have this position for you. And if you accepted this job, you will coordinate the mission work in Japan, Okinawa, Philippines, India, and Nepal. Are you kidding me? Where is the Chinese element? Where's China? Tell me once again. You know, I'm a Swatow Hong Kong Chinese British American. How can, you know, God send me to Japan, Okinawa, Philippines, India, and Nepal? This is not within my radar. Fortunately, my colleagues in the international ministry say, yes, you may have your plan, but God has another calling. To make the long story short, I have served with the international ministries for 14 years, and I can tell you today, I'm not going to exchange anything with these 14 years of experience serving and have fellowship with brothers and sisters around the world. 14 years ago, I cannot believe that the close colleagues and friends that I have is Reverend Tano in Japan, Wilson Kuma in South India, or Elmo Familiarin from the Philippines. I found that God has a wonderful plan for me. The world view and the reality, as I perceive for myself, is just a Swatow Hong Kong Chinese British American. But God said, no. My dream for you is you become a citizen of God for the whole nations, for all nations. Can you look around you? Look at the colors of the people, you know, who are sitting beside you. You know, in fact, I like to touch the people around me, okay? Even if we have different color, you touch on their hands, even the color is different, but they're so soft. Look at the eyes of the people who sit around you. You may have small eyes, you may have big round eyes, but God has created different eyes so that we can see each other as brothers and sisters. Do you realize that the most amazing miracle of today is that God has brought all nations to America. Let me repeat. God has brought all nations to America. We may not like it, we may resist it, but that is the reality for two main purposes. One, God brought all nations to America because many of them do not have a chance to hear the name of Jesus Christ. And God brought them here so that they have the freedom and they can make the choice to be the followers of Jesus Christ, and then they can go back to their own countries and share the gospels. Second purpose is because God wants all nations to come to the States to fulfill God's dream for our own country. If you look at the flag of America, do you remember how our country began our history? We are a nation of immigrants. We came from somewhere else. It's like the Jews who are identified as the servant of God, the chosen people of God. But God's plan did not stop there. God's dream for America is that our country can become the blessings of all nations. Look around again. Can you imagine one day that in this century, we sitting around us are people of different colors and cultures, and we speak with different accents, and we can glorify God and praise God with one mind, with one heart. Jesus has a dream for each and every one of you. Jesus has a plan for this church. How do we know the plan? Let's go back to the Bible, Luke chapter 4. If you have the Bible, would you turn to Luke chapter 4 again and keep the Bible open? I preach on this scripture, Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21, I think. I don't know how many occasions. And every time I preach on it, the text speaks to me, and I believe it speaks to you. The text is found in a very interesting context. Now, I know you're all very good Sunday school students, if not teachers. What happened before Jesus went to Nazareth and took up this scripture and read this text? What happened? Look at the scripture, just before verse 21st. What happened? What happened to Jesus? Temptation, right? Jesus had temptation. In fact, Jesus spent 30 years in his life to prepare for his ministry, and before Jesus went to the public ministry, Jesus had to overcome temptations. Temptation to distract him from fulfilling the calling of God. In the temptation, Jesus was called, you know, to be a Messiah, to satisfy the political agenda of some groups. Jesus was called to satisfy the physical need of the people. Jesus has to focus. So this text is so important. The scripture said that Jesus went to the Nazareth. Now, think of the location. Went to the Nazareth and picked up the scripture. Jesus did not just pick the scripture and open it. No, that's not the way that Jesus read the Bible. And Jesus did not read from Genesis. No, there are 39 books in the Old Testament. But Jesus picked this scripture. And what is the implication of these two gestures? First, when we dream God's dream for your church, first thing, we started from here, Nazareth. Jesus was brought up in Nazareth. Many times, you know, when we dream of God's dream, we tend to what? Going back to the past. Well, yeah, I know our church is like this. Okay. Oh, it would be better if we went back to the past. You know, I remember the past glory, you know, of the church.
we tend to went back. Well, other people, we have other tendency to say, oh, okay, forget about the past, you know, and forget about now. Let's dream for the future, you know, we'll go to the extreme. Okay, let's create something new. But this is not what Jesus do. Jesus went back to where he is and where he has been, Nazareth. And Jesus extended his hand, on one hand, to hold the past, but on the other hand, hold the future. Jesus said, this is how God has prepared me, and this is where God is sending me. Where's the future of your church? We look at the past and said, yes, God has done this, but I'm not going to stay in the past. And this is where am I? Where I am? God has given us a wonderful pastor. God has given us a wonderful church council. And God has given us sisters and brothers around the world. And God has given us a marvelous location of the church building here. And this is present. But God does not want us to stay here. But God wants us to march into the future to bring glory to God's name. Hold the future. Hold the past. Dream for the future. And go back to the text. Why would Jesus read from the scripture of the book of Isaiah? Why not Jesus read from Genesis? Oh, it's too long. 50 chapters, right? You know, my son Jonathan, you know, is a wonderful young person, you know. You know, he started a very disciplined life, and then, in fact, he recently committed to read through the whole Bible. You know, every morning he get up at 6:30, and then do the devotion, read the scripture, and, you know, just 2 days ago, you know, Jonathan is so excited, and he said, Dad, I just finished the whole chapter of Genesis. It's wonderful. I said, okay, now, you may continue to read Exodus. Now, but when you go to Leviticus, there's some problem, okay? So my advice to him is that after you finish the Exodus, go to the New Testament. Well, yes, it's good to read through the whole scripture. But it is more important to grasp what is the center, what is the core message of the scripture to you. Jesus picked this scripture not by coincidence. Jesus picked this scripture because this scripture is his own mission statement. This is exactly what Jesus wants to do. And there are three components in this scripture, starting from verse 18. First component, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is upon me. In Jesus' mind, he's very clear that if he wants to fulfill God's dream, it is not by his own calling. It's like me, you know, I want to serve with the Chinese people, right? But God has another plan for me. God prepared Jesus for a purpose. And Jesus knows that the source of this purpose, the compassion and the authority of the mission is core to what Jesus is going to do. So in this mission, first, we need to know what is the power and the compassion of our mission. Second, Jesus knows exactly which people he wants to serve. Now, can you look at the scripture and tell me which four groups of people Jesus wants to serve? Jesus wants to serve the poor, the captive, or other, you know, interpretation. Jesus wants to serve the blind, the handicapped, or physical incapable. And Jesus wants to serve the wonderful, oppressed, or in other translation is heartbroken. Heartbroken. That means Jesus has a very clear vision in his mind. When Jesus, you know, does his mission, he has pictures in his mind, faces in his mind. Jesus said, I want to serve these people who are thirst for the kingdom of God, who are marginalized. The third element in Jesus' mission. Not only does Jesus know where his power comes from, which people he wants to serve, And thirdly, Jesus knows exactly what he wants to do. In other words, Jesus has an action plan. Now, if you look at all the verbs, you know what Jesus' action plans is. Again, from the Bible, can you tell me what are the action plans of Jesus? First, Jesus wants to preach. Second, to set free. Jesus wants to what? To heal or to restore. And lastly, Jesus wants to cure. Do you have the passion for mission? Now, the Holy Spirit is a very interesting, thing for Baptists. Many Baptists cannot tolerate the Holy Spirit. When we talk about Holy Spirit, we are scared. Do you know why? Well, if we worship, God the Father, the Creator, we know exactly what it means, right? When we say Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, we know exactly what it means. But when we say the Holy Spirit, what is the image in your mind? Speaking in tongue, right? Well, that's scary, And what else? We are so afraid of the Holy Spirit. We are so afraid that, yes, we can have the Creator and Son of God, but not the Holy Spirit. Because when we say Holy Spirit, it means there's something new beyond your Christian life, beyond your church life. Holy Spirit means change. We are so afraid of change. But this is exactly what we need and what the church needs. Now, I thank God, we can invite the Holy Spirit to come to our lives and to the life of the church. But we can also reject it. But when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you can feel it. And it stirs up your mind. I love to tell this story, and I hope that Steve do not mind. I tell the story again here. I have a wonderful friend by the name of Sandor. He is a pastor of Hungarian Baptist Church. In Sandor, Hungary is a former communist country, right? Now, Sandor is a pastor. He's very faithful to the church ministry. And one day he was sitting in front of the TV. And he was watching this news about North Korea. This is about 10 years ago. And the news is about a flood that destroyed most of the industry and coal mine of North Korea. Now, we read those kinds of disasters all the time. It really doesn't matter. You give $100 or you give a donation and then you go back to your normal life. But this is not what happened to Sandor. And you know what? When Sandor was watching the TV, he was disturbed. Something was tickling his mind. And he knows the Holy Spirit is speaking to him. So a few days later, Pastor Sandor went to the embassy, the North Korea embassy in Hungary, and knocked at their door. The officials in the embassy came up and looked at Sandor. Oh, sir, what do you want to do? And Sandor, is very clever, very smart, okay? And he said, well, I read about, the flood in North Korea and I want to help. And of course, they said, what can you do? Your country is rebuilding your economy. How can you help? So Sandor said, well, I'm going to give you a donation of $1 million. Now, money speaks, right? So the official was so happy. They were so happy. Hey, come on in. Let us talk about this. And, they offer him tea and then chat and of course, finally, it came back to the same subject. So the officials asked Sandor, Mr. Sandor, you said that you want to donate $1 million to our country. How can we receive the money? Sandor looked at them and said that, you have to understand this. I'm a Baptist pastor. I don't have the money, but I can pray. Those officials were furious, What do you mean? What do you mean? I invited you to come in, a Christian to come in into a communist embassy, and you said you pray, and you don't have the money? And Shandor, you know, as I said this morning, all the missionaries have to be a little bit crazy for God, and Shandor carry that kind of quality. You have to be a little bit crazy and work outside the box, right? So Shandor didn't care. So he was in this communist embassy in Hungary and pray, you know, for you know, how God loves his country, you know, how God may provide and so forth. And then he left. The officials of the embassy was, they said, this crazy person, okay, never let him come back. A few months later, Shandor came back to this embassy. Oh, this crazy man came back again. What do we do? What do we do with him? Now, Shandor, of course, is very clever. He has some way to get into, you know, the embassy building. And this time, Shandor humbly and gently said, friends, I told you that I'm a Baptist pastor. We'll pray for you, and our God loves your people. And here is $1 million worth of relief and medicine to your people. This is how the Baptist family began our mission work in North Korea. I went to North Korea with Pastor Shandor 2 years later. It is an amazing story. You know, I'm going to show some pictures there this afternoon. But I remember in the farewell party of our visit, the foreign affairs minister, you know, said, I know you Baptists are wonderful people. You know, we do not like Christians, but we like Baptists. Okay, I don't have time to explain to them. Okay, we like Baptists. And then they show me, you know, a empty building and the pictures, and they said, we really appreciate what you're doing. You know, in this week of visit, we have observed you. And we really appreciate the authentic love that you have shown us. And would you come and help us build this noodle factory? So I smiled. And I said, hey, do you know I'm a pastor, okay? I do not even help my wife to cook. I'm sorry to say that. I don't know how to make noodles. So the reply is, well, if you want it, you can name it a Baptist noodle factory. That is amazing. A Baptist noodle factory in the capital city of a communist country. To make the long story short, now the Baptist family is supporting 2 orphanages in Seorjan province in North Korea, and we are funding a noodle factory that provides enough noodles to feed 10,000 children and families who are in need. Even more amazingly, under the permission of the government, we were able to connect to the Christians in North Korea and involve their participation. In fact, they are helping us to monitor the production and distribution. In fact, I'm going to North Korea again early next year, you know, to see the work and also to strengthen our work in North Korea. Do you see how this mission is possible? Plan is important. Money is important. But what begins a mission is the passion of one person who hears the call of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible in your church if each and every one of us is open, is ready for change, is open to guidance of the Holy Spirit. I love to be American Baptist because I have high regard of what we are doing. American Baptists always serve with people of all nations, and we always put priority with the marginalized people and the poor people. I remember that one of my trip to South India is to a village of the Yanadi people. Yanadi people is one of the most backward people in India. So I carry this responsibility of the entire American Baptist family and to visit them. So this is the first time I went there. I was, so astonished by what I've seen. Now, you have to know that India is a wonderful country with rich culture, but with a city person, I'm from Hong Kong, right? So everything that I've seen is amazing. And I remember that I went to this sanctuary. They have a small church of these Yanadi people, which is not really as big as this, platform. Now, I was sitting at one end and then with the translator there, and it was a moving scene. When I said moving, I mean literally moving. What I mean is this. This is really amazing. I was sitting there and I saw rats running around us. And I said, wow, they are really friendly, because when they sat around, moving around us, our Yanadi friends they're all sitting at the floor and they are so friendly, pat on them, go away, this is time for preaching, go away. And then of course when I preach, I have to be very careful. If you were there, you would hear me preach in such a way. Jesus, and then I have to close my mouth. And then, love you, and close my mouth. Now I have to break down my sermon very short in a way that I cannot preach it, the whole sentence. It's because if I do that, I'm going to swallow several fries. Now, I don't mean to be negative. What I mean is, God has brought me in a reality that to understand what poverty is about. As I said, I was brought up in Hong Kong. I understand what poverty is, but not to that extent how people are struggling with their daily lives. American Baptist has invested 20 years working, among these Yanadi people along with our brothers and sisters in India, the Telugu Christians. They are very faithful, marvelous Christians. And I'm very happy to tell you that Jesus said, preach to the poor, restore their future. They are blind. They are blind physically as well as they do not see the future. But God said, restore their hope, restore their eyesight for the future. 20 years we invested our time, energy and money in the Yanadi villages. And today, there are 60 Yanadi churches. And they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in all the Yanadi villages. And they formed a team of Yanadi evangelists. And you know what? When the tsunami hit South Asia, especially the eastern coastal area of India, we were not able to shift our relief material to India so quick. But our brothers and sisters in the Yanadi villages took the first step to rescue those who suffer from the tsunami. God has a way to transform the whole tribe, the whole people, if we are faithful to the calling that we preach the gospel to the poor, we restore the future, we release the captive, and we heal the brokenhearted. Sisters and brothers of First Baptist Church, Pasadena, God gives you a name. God gives you a location. God gives you a history. God gives you a pastor. Because God has a dream for each and every one of us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful to you to the way how you have created us and how you have given us the salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as our church is searching for the future, Lord, as we give support to the marvelous global mission, Lord, we also ask the Holy Spirit to speak to the heart and mind of every member here. Show us your way. Give us the passion. Make us a temple of all nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.